Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
So if you're wandering around L.A. this week, the banners are everywhere, the annual Electronic Entertainment Expo. It's called E3 if you're an insider, and of course I'm not, so I should just call it the Electronic Entertainment Expo. But E3ers know it's once again a debate between people who are arguing for new platforms in video gaming and people who are arguing for new content in video gaming. There are new gadgets that are changing the way games are played, and gamers from all over the world gather at this particular expo. Tom Bissell joins us. He says video games have already begun changing in very fundamental ways, and he lays it out in a great new book, Extra Lives, Why Video Games Matter. He joins us from the Los Angeles Electronic Entertainment Expo, E3, this morning. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, John.
So, having any fun out there? I know it's early.
It's or late, one or the other. Yeah, no, it's the first E3 I've ever been through, and you know, when it's not pounding on your brain with the spectacle, it really makes you excited with just, you know, how much energy and excitement there seems to be in this world.
And for this time of the morning on the West Coast, you have a lot of energy, and I congratulate you for that. Let's just start with a sense of the balance between discussion of new platforms for games, handheld devices and the like, versus new content for games, graphics, the style of the gamings and the like.
Well, everyone's, you know, who's here at E3 has been kind of bummed a little bit by the fact that there's just a definite sense among people who take their games seriously of, you know, what next. And, you know, there's basically very few big, splashy, high-profile games here that aren't, you know, sequels or something. And that's kind of been the depressing thing to me about a lot of the stuff that I've seen out here. Is it just seems like, you know, this is a kind of sense of desperation amongst game developers who, you know, they're desperately trying to hold on to the dwindling attention of their audience.
Well, certainly gaming companies, Electronic Arts, has had some a difficult time in the market recently, and box office or sales have not lived up to expectations on some major rollouts in the last year. Are we seeing a sort of aesthetic plateau in this art form that really began in the arcade and has moved clearly into the sort of movie realm competing with other forms of entertainment?
You know, that's a great question. I think one of the problems is that for people who, like, do take their video games seriously, there's you know, a few schools of thought as to what we're going to this medium for. Some people just like the spectacle. Some people sort of eat up, you know, the virtual, you know, the pleasures of virtual confrontation, of virtual violence. And then there are people like me who really go to this medium because we see it as, you know, a new form of storytelling, the rules of which are not really established yet. And so it's very exciting for people like me to look at this medium and understand that, you know, for the first time since maybe the dawn of film, we're seeing an entirely brand new way of telling stories, have its rules codify and work themselves out right in front of us. And that's the thing that I find most exciting about games.
Well, it seems to me that you have a whole new class of gamers, and that may be part of the problem, that they're not sure how to deal with the people who come to games like World of Warcraft or StarCraft or Dungeons & Dragons Online, because they want to be part of a community and they want to play with the same people every night for a few hours.
Yeah, and that is a style of gaming that I personally just don't respond to, that, like, the massively multiplayer online games. Yeah, you're right. It just becomes a form of socialization. And, you know, to me, I'm looking to be told stories that have beginnings, middles, and ends, and not necessarily hang out with my friends while we're all wearing, you know, goblin masks. And so what's really cool is, you know, the idea a gamer is a label that gets thrown out there on people, but it really doesn't mean anything anymore. And in fact, we're seeing, like, the video game world really kind of stratify a little bit in terms of, you know, what people are actively expecting from this medium. And I think a lot of developers don't really know yet how to, you know, address all these people's different concerns. I think they're just doing what they used to do, which is just try to drive it straight up the middle and hope that, you know, everyone from the sides sort of convenes on it. But I think less and less that's going to be that's going to be the case.
You know, in chapter 8 of your book, which is called Extra Lives, you introduce us to a character by the name of Mr. Hocking. Describe him for us quickly, and then I have a question for you.
Clint Hocking is my favorite video game designer. I mean, I think he's an absolute genius. He's someone who kind of attacks the reigning paradigms of popular video game design because he just thinks that, you know, there's the best that we can really do with the way most games are designed is have a game that's as good as or slightly better than the best action film ever made.
That's what you said. This is the interesting point. At the end of this chapter, Hocking says that the best story, say Call of Duty, which is a very, very popular war video game, the best story Call of Duty can ever have is something either very close to or, as you say, marginally better than the best war movie ever made. The best we can ever hope for with a narrative game is to get there. We can't go beyond it using the tools of film or literature or any other authored narrative approach. He's describing a kind of vast aesthetic limit to what video games can do. Is he sad about that or thrilled about it?
Well, he also goes on to say that is there a way that video game storytelling can work? It can go way beyond what he calls the author drama experience, in which, you know, an author provides a set of options for you and sort of baits you down a narrative path of your own choosing so that the story kind of assembles around your own choices. And he thinks that that could be, if we can figure out a way to imbue that sort of storytelling with, like, meaning and to make it, you know, be about something other than shooting people in the head, he thinks that that's a form of storytelling that could really, you know, blow away other forms of, like, traditional author storytelling.
So it's,
I kind of agree with him that if we can figure out ways to do that, it could be amazing.
So it's a pre-Hemingway moment. It's not write the great American novel. It's write the great narrative video game.
Yeah, and in a way that doesn't feel like a narrative video game, you know, and just a way that feels like it honors the player's agency, but also, you know, gives you enough of a story in a traditional authored sense to make you feel like there's something in it that is guiding you. It's a really weird form in that sense.
Well, Tom,
you know, it's not really. Yeah,
Tom, we got to go, but you sound totally awake now, I have to say. Have a great time out there. Have a great time out there. Tom Bissell is the author of Extra Lives, Why Video Games Matter. He's out at the E3 Electronic Entertainment Expo in Los Angeles.